Welcome to the Round Rock Church of Christ Teaching Podcast. We're a faith community located in the central Austin area that gathers at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. We hope this teaching blesses you as we become spirit-filled and spirit-led Jesus followers for those who do not have a home.
Good morning, church. This morning, I'll be reading from 1 Timothy 4:13 through 16. Until I arrive, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhorting, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders. Put these things into practice. Devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you'll save both yourself and your hearers.
Church, this is the word of the Lord. We say amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, come. It's our prayer today. Come and do what only you can do. Come, Holy Spirit, we welcome you into our hearts. Come and do what only you can do. Let's sing that one more time. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We know you're already here. Come and do what only you can do. So we're open to your work. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come and do what only you can do. Y'all may be seated.
Good morning, church. How are we doing so far? Doing great. That's great. If you have a Bible with you this morning, I'd encourage you to turn to our passage, which is going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you're new to the scriptures or you're exploring faith, if you go to the front of your Bible, you can look at the table of contents and also be able to find where 1 Timothy is. A couple weeks ago, I was at a prayer breakfast where one of our sisters of this church was introducing me as the preacher, and she said, "This is Zane, our preacher. He says a lot of words, and thank goodness for podcasts, because I need to listen three times to be able to hear everything he says." And I do want to give you a warning. Today is one of those sermons where there's a lot in which I'm going to speak to and cover, and if you're a note taker, that may be valuable this morning, or if you like podcasts, this may be a podcastable sermon as we go. Because today I want to unpack a little bit of the journey that we've been on as a church. There was a pilgrimage in my childhood that mattered. It mattered every single summer. There's a lot of things that we could cut in my childhood every summer, and I'd be completely okay. But one of them that I was not okay with was that every summer, the Witcher family had to make the pilgrimage to the land that was called SeaWorld. Because if I did not see that black and white whale jump out of the water, summer was not complete. And I loved going to SeaWorld. But not only did I love going as far as the destination, I also enjoyed the journey. Because my family would, what we'd do is we would borrow this bulky kind of motorhome. It was a Bounder, if you remember that brand. It was like the kangaroo on the side of it. And I thought that was a castle on wheels. Like, I looked forward to hopping in that motorhome and going on the journey. And not only did I love it, but it was one of the times in my upbringing where I got to sit in the passenger seat as my father drove that motorhome to the promised land. And I thought it was the coolest thing. It was our National Lampoon's vacation as we drove to San Antonio. And what my father would do would be just a classic father move, that he would actually take the time, if you, some of you will remember this, but he would he would actually print off a MapQuest, and it would have every single direction outlined. And he would hand me that MapQuest, and I would sit in that chair, and for a couple of hours, I would read out the different directions to him. Then one day, technology entered the world, and we discovered this thing called the GPS, where no longer did we need to print MapQuest directions where we had every step along the way, but we had this voice that actually spoke and led us and would tell us the directions 0.5 seconds before we needed to take them. And it was this beautiful transition because we got the opportunity to mature together and learn together and be patient together as we journeyed there. If you were with us almost a year ago when we unrolled the vision as a church, this is one of the images I used to describe the journey that we are on. That maybe journeys in the past have been kind of like a MapQuest journey. That we have every step before we even take one step. And how this journey of the vision that we've been on as a church isn't as much a MapQuest as it is maybe a Google Maps journey. That we know where God is calling and leading us as a church, but we're listening slowly and carefully for each step along the way. And I do want to note that this type of journey can be challenging and sometimes frustrating because we want to know what are all the steps before we take a step. And if I can simply nudge us, that we learn that God's promises is that when God leads his people, it's sometimes more like a lamp to our feet than a floodlight to the whole path. And although it can be challenging, we find in the biblical story when God is leading his people, he doesn't give them MapQuest directions. He gives them one step at a time because it helps God's people trust in not a plan, but trust in the person of God. So today, this morning, we're doing kind of a vision update where we kind of have a next step that we're talking about. And as we go through this vision that I'm going to talk about, we're going to do these types of updates occasionally as we walk through with each of them. And today, just to let you know what is the update, today we're offering a couple of names up to the church for deacons, which if you're not familiar with the term deacon, these are just lead servants in ministries. They are people who go first on behalf of the church. And we're going to lift up some names that we'd like to provide for 2 weeks for the church to affirm or voice if there's any biblical reservation. And also I'm going to speak about how some of our deacons are shifting and they're aligning with the vision and the things that we feel that God is calling us towards. So that is this morning and what we're unpacking. Before we get to a couple of those names, I would actually like to start by refreshing the story that's happening in our church and reminding us how it aligns with the story of God. Back in April of 2023, we actually took time to unpack how we listened for nearly a year and a half and went through a process of hearing that we feel called, that God desires for Round Rock Church of Christ to become Jesus followers who are spirit-filled and spirit-led for those who do not have a home. And if you missed this part of the journey, or there's questions about how this was affirmed through the leadership, this website right here will actually take you to all the videos in which we recorded those sessions. And today I don't have the time to be able to unpack how we got to this place. But what I do want to just unpack and make sure we know is that our story that Round Rock Church Christ is going on is a story that is falling within God's story in the larger story of the scriptures. If you are new to the Bible or you want to learn more about God, one of the things I would like to recommend to you is to note that when you place a Bible in front of your hand, not only is the Bible these individual stories of God, but how your Bible is laid out is one big entire story about God. It's actually very intentional how the scriptures are laid out, because there's a story from the pages of Genesis 1 all the way to the end in Revelation. If you're a theater person, here's the imagery I'm going to use today. Within the big story arc of the Bible, there are five acts. There's kind of five movements throughout the larger story of God. And I want to just touch on what those acts or movements are, because I think they will help us understand why God may be calling us in this way. All right, so act number one. Can you say act one with me? Act one. I just need to make sure you stay with me, because this is going to be a decent amount of Bible right here. So act one, in the beginning, when God is creating, God creates a home. If you were to read Genesis 1 and 2, scholars, Jewish scholars and Christian scholars, would say there's a cadence, there's a rhythm in the unpacking of God creating the world, which it mimics the cadence and rhythm of what it would be like for people to describe what the process is of building a temple, a home in which God would be acknowledged and worshiped. And in these stories of creating a temple, the final step of creating that home would be installing the priests, the people who would actually foster and steward that temple. And in Genesis, God sets up a home by creating a world, and the last act of this God is to place humans in this home, because the humans are the priests. They're the ones who steward the home of God. And God wants to dwell in power and presence with people. And humanity is given the commission to steward that home until sin enters the world, which sin may be just at its simplest as separation from the eternal presence of God and the love of God. Sin is a disease of dis-ease towards life and life with God. And as a form of taking care of humanity, God actually ushers humanity out of this home, out of this garden. But then you move to Act 2. Can you say Act 2 with me? That we move to His presence. In essence, that even though there is separation, there is distance, God's presence and power goes on the road with God's people. In other words, God moves in a motorhome. He has a mobile home that He moves with the people. And if you're familiar with a large part of the Old Testament, it's about the people of God traveling around with the presence of God. That there's a tabernacle. There is this like high quality REI tent that is being traveled around where the presence of God goes. Because God deeply, utterly wants to be present with His people. In other words, God can't help but be oh so close. And one way to think about this is when I first got married, I'm an only child, if you haven't been able to tell so far in this journey of Mimi, and my spouse is a triplet. And no one told me in our marriage counseling that she would be everywhere. Like, she would be with me when I wake up, she'd be with me in the car, she'd be right outside the bathroom while I'm trying to use it, talking to me. No one told me that my feet would always be sweaty in bed because she'd be trying to just put her foot on top of my foot. And at one point I asked her, why do you always have to be around me or touching me? And she said to me, and this is the most God grace, this is what marriage does, it sanctifies you. My wife looked me in the eyes and she goes, I just can't help but be around you all the time and touch you. That's kind of like the nature of God. He can't help but be around you. That he wants to be connected to his people. So even though there's distance, this God's presence, he actually travels around with his people. And it is a hot mess trying to keep the presence of God with him. And all throughout the rest of the Old Testament, you see that humanity is helplessly trapped inside of their worst self. They're aware of the distance between the way that they are and the way that they intend to be. And even though God sends his Spirit to rest powerfully on a few individuals and call God's people back, they cannot do it. So the third act, can you say act three, is that the presence of God comes in person. That in John's words, Jesus Christ tabernacles. He comes and he dwells, not just in presence, but in person. The person of Jesus Christ, who is fully human, who steps in for Israel, a group of people, and says, the person of Jesus will be what the people were meant to be in ushering in the Lord. And when you see Jesus fulfilling the journey of God, one of the first things before Jesus ever announces, before Jesus ever heals, before he ever does anything in his ministry, is that he takes time to recognize who he is and whose power he works with. So Luke 4, Jesus, after his baptism, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he left the Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. When he comes to John to baptize him, John goes, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I shouldn't be baptizing you. And Jesus says, this is what is needed for righteousness. It is the right thing to do. And when Jesus leaves the wilderness, once he's clear on his identity and moves in the power of God, he begins to announce the kingdom of God boldly. Here's how Peter in Acts literally describes Jesus' ministry. He's testifying and he's preaching in Acts 10, verse 38. He said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. In other words, Jesus was able to fulfill what humanity's calling was. Jesus was able to do good and he was able to heal because he opened himself up to the Spirit of God. And Jesus goes through and he tells a story about how God's heart longs so much for everyone to know him, that he's like a father and like two brothers who even go out, and one brother just says, I want to waste all you have. I could care less about you, and I'm going to go do this thing on my own. And Jesus says, God is like the father who welcomes that son back home. And not only does Jesus speak those words, but he embodies those words, because he goes to a cross. He dies a death he does not deserve, to assure us and to assure anyone in this room, no matter how far you have gone, no matter how much you've wasted that God has given you, and no matter how dismissive you are to God, in his death, burial, and resurrection, you are able to come home to God. That's what his death, burial, and resurrection means. And not only when Jesus is resurrected, but ascended, it is God giving a preview to the world to say, not only has Jesus come, but Jesus is returning. Which, if I can skip Act 4 and go to Act 5, this is Act 5. Can you say Act 5? Jesus is returning. He's not beaming people up into heaven somewhere in the clouds. Jesus actually says there will be a time when he folds up time and he says, I will return. I will bring heaven and earth together, because God is a God who finishes what he starts. What he started in the garden, he's going to finish in the new heavens and the new earth. Here is how the Holy Spirit presses this upon John in Revelation. This is the very end of the scriptures. John says, I saw it like this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And as I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them. And they will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And I'm just going to read you verse 5. I'm giving you an extra verse here. He who was seated on the throne after this said, I am making everything new. He said, write these words down because they're trustworthy and they're true. In other words, the good news of Jesus returning is that he is going to bring the presence of God fully, not in a complete way, but in a full way that's going to wipe tears from our eyes, that we're going to be so encompassed in the presence of God, it's going to be just filling. It's going to be glorious. That he will finish what he started. He'll be present with his people. It's really good news. It's really good news. Which then leads us to Act 4. If you can say Act 4 with me. What do you do between the person of Jesus and the home of God coming home and his people being together with him? Well, at the end of Act 3, Jesus tells the disciples. He says, go everywhere. Release the good news to all the people, baptizing in my name and forming disciples. In other words, release the good news of people being able to come home with God. And Jesus then ascends into the heavens, which at sometimes kind of sounds like a really bad E.T. movie. We're like, where's he going? Why is he leaving? And we may think because Jesus ascends, that maybe it's kind of like this historical thing, that this event happened and now we're waiting until the end. But Jesus makes a promise, not that he can no longer be found anywhere, but that by the Advocate or his Spirit, he can be accessed anywhere. Jesus is limited by personhood of where he can be, but his Spirit can be anywhere or everywhere. Jesus says there's an advocate, a helper. He's one who will actually help you in creating this home to help usher people home. In the words of one of my favorite theologians, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that drips down from the cross that creates this red carpet that invites you to receive the same power and presence that Jesus operated in through his Spirit. That we're invited to trust in his name. And when we trust in his name, we are filled and led by the Spirit, not for the sake of ourselves, but for others to come home. That the Spirit reveals home to us and invites people home through us. In the book of Acts, when God's people are first learning and acclimating to the Spirit, filling and leading them, I want to point out to you, if you go to these different chapters, you will see Luke uses the language of filled and then led over and over again. But one thing to be super clear is when the Spirit fills the people of God, they are led to do bold things like Jesus and become like Jesus. When the Spirit fills the disciples in Acts 2, people are led to accept Jesus' name. When the Spirit fills Stephen in Acts 7, he gives his life exactly the same way that Jesus gives his life. Father, forgive them. In Acts 11, which is a wild story, when someone is filled with the Spirit and says, there's a famine that is coming, the church is led to give generously and boldly to be able to take care of those who their home's going to go through famine. The Holy Spirit is the third person of God who ushers the presence and power of God to us and through us. One way, if you find yourself nervous about the Holy Spirit, I want to assure you that the Spirit mediates our understanding of Jesus, gives us access to the gifts that God has made for us in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit helps us operate in greater resurrection power. It's a foretaste of Act 5. This is why Paul in Ephesians 1:14 will say that the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance that is to come. So when we've said the phrase that we're becoming Jesus followers who are Spirit-filled and Spirit-led, this affirms Act 4 of God's story. That we are people that are home for the Holy Spirit to work through us and to give a preview of the home of what it's like when the new heaven and the new earth come together. So when we pray for the Spirit of God to fill us, and I understand for some that language sounds confusing. It's like, are we saying that the Spirit leaves and Spirit comes back? No, no. When we pray for the Spirit of God to fill us, what we're asking is, we're asking for the Spirit of God to mature us and expand us, maybe even challenge us, for us to become the people that God has called us to be. Which then now leads us to the question of like, okay, how do we practically do this? How do we live out Act 4 in the way that we feel that God is calling us? And this is where the guidance of that letter in 1 Timothy, I think, is so helpful. Paul writes to a church leader by the name of Timothy, and much like us, is in Acts 4, this church is trying to figure out how do we live into God's story. And I'm going to back it up all the way into verse 6. This is how he describes it, maybe 7. Train yourself for a holy life. While physical training has some value, training in holy living is useful for everything. It has promise for this life now and the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive because we have our hopes set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially for those who believe. The thing I want us to hear Timothy write to this church who's trying to live out faithfully is, one, a life of holiness does not just happen. We will not become greater into the image of Jesus just by coming to church every once in a while. It's a good start, but it actually takes training. Second, to live closer to Christ, to embody Christ, means it takes effort and training on our end. Notice I said effort, not earning. It takes effort. It takes input with us. And the third thing that Timothy highlights is God is living and he is active in the midst of this training and in the midst of our effort, which means good news in the name of Jesus Christ today. God is not assisting or patching up injured people. God is making dead people alive. That is the work of Jesus Christ. And we participate in it. And then in 1 Timothy in 15, he says it like this: practice these things and live by them so that your progress will be visible to all. Focus on working on your development and what you teach. And if you do this, you will save yourself and those who hear you. In other words, Paul says to Timothy, we must practice our life with God. We must reflect on how we're following God. And we should be mindful of how we go about this affects others coming home to God. In other words, when the church gathers together, we do not come to be entertained. We do not come to just walk down memory lane. The church is God's people who train and practice in the presence and power of Jesus Christ. And when we train and practice in the power and presence of Jesus Christ, people come home. So when we gather to meet with worship, we pray, Spirit of God, will you mature us? Will you expand us? Will you reveal the love of God to us? And then we go out being led of how we should live that out as an example for others and being attempted to. So then the final question is, okay, we train. God is active in the midst of this. How we go about this can actually affect other people coming home to God. How do we as a church practice and train for the life that is filled and led by the Spirit of God? This is where our vision process came into play, that each church has to discern how they live out the Great Commission. And for us, we've prayerfully discerned that it is six lanes or six initiatives, that these are concrete and concentrated ways for us to go about the work that God has set before us. We've said that these six lanes are evangelism and rhythms and Holy Spirit listening sessions and mentorship and home initiatives and our leadership. And if you will give me just a couple more minutes, I would like to unpack what each of these things mean again for us to be super clear about what God can be inviting us to. The first is evangelism. If you are unfamiliar with that word, evangelism is just saying, sharing what God has done in you and sharing what God can do for anyone. As one of my spiritual mentors said to me growing up, if you want to walk closely with God, start walking with someone who does not know God. They will ask you tough questions. They will make you rethink what you think about things, and they make you pursue deeper. In Acts, every time the Spirit is working through people, it's for the sake of leading other people home to God. So there's a couple ways that we see ourselves participating in this. One is actual evangelism. The second is welcome home ministry. If you see people wearing yellow shirts around, that's welcome home. And then finally would be missions. You know, we sponsor two missionaries. And, you know, Dan vocalized last week, one of the elders at our church, we're taking a trip to Peru right now, which you can still hop on board with that. One of the things that we've started within this vision in that top box is actually Alpha. That's just a place for people to be able to come and dialogue and ask questions about faith, particularly the foundations of faith. And I do just want to excitedly put out in front of us as a church today that we started our second expression this past Wednesday. And I want to remind you that we've been praying for a while, and we felt like we needed to just put a direct number with it because we just wanted to be super specific to God. The number really doesn't matter that much as we wanted to say, God, we would love to have two groups in Alpha come through. And on Wednesday, we ended up having 14 people coming to Alpha. And on top of those 14 people, if you add the two group leaders for each of them, that is 18 people. But it didn't even stop there because we had two people that reached out afterwards that said, I missed the first week, but I still want to come this next week. Keep praying for Alpha. That we're sharing with people, we're walking with people, we're talking through what it means to come home to God. The second one is, we said Holy Spirit listening sessions. And to explain that language for some of us, we're like, what is that? That is an extended time of listening and praying and worshiping with a group of people who you trust and love to listen for the whisper of God that could be happening in your life. We've run 18 of these sessions so far. We can only do a couple each month. We're more than halfway over. But this is a chance for us to actually be attentive, for some of us to recenter our lives on what the Spirit of God is doing. You know, we found when we were coming out of COVID that there were just a number of different things that people were experiencing, like irritability or hypersensitivity, avoiding silence, addiction to work, emotional numbness, disordered desires, escapist behavior, lack of desire for God, isolation, inconsistency. All these things kind of bubbled up when we were listening during the process. And one of the things that is true is that sometimes when we're in this place, we try to give what we do not have. And one of the things we're doing within these Holy Spirit listening sessions is we're asking for God to fill us with His love again. That we're asking for us to be filled with the fullness of God so we can actually live out the mission that God is putting in front of us. And the Holy Spirit is crucial in the midst of this. You know, it's one thing to be able to read over and over again that God loves you. It's another thing for the Holy Spirit to actually reveal to you personally how God loves you and how God is with you. That God will provide what you need. He will water what is planted. He will convict with kindness of where our sins are, and He will whisper comfort in our darkest nights. So for coming out of these sessions, you may be wondering, like, so are there like wild things that happen coming out of these sessions? Well, if you consider wild, some people walk out and they redirect their desires. Some people walk out and feel convicted that they need to go address brokenness in their lives or with people. For some people, they walk out absolutely refreshed. I guess those are the things that are wild with it. The next thing that we did, not only Holy Spirit listening sessions, but rhythms, that we want to continue the ministry of prayer. We want to continue the rhythms or the patterns of small groups. And we also want to continue in a new ministry that's been called Grief Share, that we want people walking in step together for what God is doing. That word rhythms, if you literally define the word rhythm, it means repeated, consistent pattern or motion. And all we're saying with rhythms is we want to outline as a church what are the practices and exercises for everyone to be in step with Jesus, to be regularly connected with Him. For us to actually open ourselves up to not just what we're able to do, but also open ourselves up to what the Spirit of God wants to do. If I want to lift my whole body weight, I couldn't just do that right now. I would need to actually take on some disciplines to actually start lifting and build the stamina to lift my entire body weight. How spiritual disciplines or exercises or practices are different is we actually open ourselves up not only to the power that we have, but we open ourselves up to the power of God in our lives. So we're going to keep working on what are the consistent practices or exercises we engage. The next one is mentorship. One of the things we want to do is we want people to be deeply connected and be discipling with other people. And one of the things we felt on our hearts is that when people are coming home to God or making a home here, we don't want to assume that people just know how to operate and work in step with God. That we want to actually create a mentorship way and lane for people to personally know how to live out the call of Jesus to say, follow me. So we did a mentorship program that was highly successful, brought a lot of flourishing. 90 people went through this program. And right now there's a team of people that are working on the next expression of this mentorship program so that we can actually hand to people as they're coming home to God to say, hey, here are the ways that you can engage and be connected to God. Saying the last one, home initiatives. This is what we said of, we felt like we wanted to partner and serve inside and outside of our church for creating a sense of home. The same Holy Spirit that played a part in the first creation is also forming the new creation, which means that we should be out there serving. That if God is making things right in the world, then we should be going out and helping restore and make things right in people's lives as well. We've been praying and discerning over this one because for the first year, we felt like we needed to sit at the feet of Jesus in order to become the hands and feet of Jesus. We have sensed that we feel like for single parent homes, there may be a lead that we feel here. We've also felt that maybe there's a calling for friends who have housing complexities for us to partner with that. We've partnered a little bit with the Round Rock Crisis Center on different things that they've needed housing-wise. Another thing that we immediately launched is Alpha Hospitality, which we basically just asked the church, hey, would you come in and help us? Because on Wednesday nights, we're having people come to our church that don't come here regularly, and will you help us in hosting those spaces? And to this date, there are 129 people that are contributing in some way, in some form, to Wednesday nights with Alpha right now. That's between prayer team, meals, greeters, hospitality team, all of them. People who have contributed to it financially. 129 people. And we're going to keep asking what we need to do from here. The final one is leadership. That one of the things we highlighted, it covers some of these, but we highlighted we actually wanted to take time to help bring clarity for our deacons after COVID happened, to align the deacons with the vision, and also we felt the need to invite some people to join us in the team of deacons that are being led. So today I want to finish by just recognizing where some shifts are for deacons, as well as also highlighting names that we're putting up and offering to the church. Our current list over on the left, Eric Posadas is being commissioned and moving with Alpha. Terry Arnold will continue in prayer ministry. Brandon Hudson, we're actually asking if he would shift over to student ministry and partnering with Lauren, our student minister there. Chris Wigginton would actually be moving to small groups. Chris has been leading discipleship cohorts for a while, and we think that he would be a presence that would be helpful and valuable in talking about our small groups for the future. Luke Cochran, which if you've gone through a Holy Spirit listening session, we've asked to shift over and actually help in prepping and training 30 days out for Holy Spirit listening sessions. Jason Whaley, we've actually asked if he would move over to children's ministry to partner with Jody, because we've not previously had deacons there before. Lee as well, we've also asked if Lee would shift over to children's ministry to provide support in that ministry. John Kay would continue in student ministry. Dwayne Whitehead, we've actually asked if he would shift over to Alpha Hospitality. Dwayne and Kay were crucial in our first launch with Alpha, and they've been in step there. Stan would continue in benevolence. Josh Sumter would be working and consulting with foster and adoption. Jack, which if anything works in this building, it's because of Jack. Jack would be continuing with our building ministry in addition to Kirk Rofer. Mike Schmidt, we've actually asked to shift over into audio and video just because the Jameses just moved to be closer with family. Danny Halden, who has moved more chairs probably this past year than any other season of his life and is greatly appreciated, will continue in the auditorium with chairs. Burke with finances, and Bob Mars continuing with safety. These are the current deacons and some of the shifts that have happened there. In addition, we're proposing deacon names, which we're also offering up in front of the church, which is the first is with Tim Beckett leaving. We're asking Roger Whiteside to step in as the deacon for missions. Because we gained a worship leader this year, we're also asking if Brandon Kennedy, who's been a part of the worship team, would transition on as a deacon in worship. Jeff Tipps, who has been volunteering and helping in student ministry, we've asked if he would also step in with student ministry alongside John Kay and Brandon Hudson. Mark Garcia has been faithfully serving in a lot of different areas, and we've asked Mark and Enrique Castanon if they would step into the home initiatives of the vision, so helping us discern and figure out what does it look like to serve people and let them know that they have a home here. And then finally, adding to the building crew is Zach Gossett as well. These names that are on the right, we are bringing before the church. We're asking for affirmation. We're asking for encouragement. We're also asking if there is any biblical reservation or hesitation, if you would actually fill out a form that would actually speak to that, and we'll have an elder reach out to you with that. To provide feedback, if you simply go to roundrockchurch.us, if you go to the front of the webpage, there are four buttons, I mean, right in the center. You cannot miss it. And it just says Deacon Feedback Form. You can click that form, and you can add any note of encouragement to any existing deacon. You can add affirmation or encouragement to any of the deacons that are on this right side that we're offering up to the church. And you can also provide any feedback if you have biblical reservation about any of these on the right, adding and joining to the team of deacons. That's the leadership piece. As we're coming to a close, I do want to just simply say, as we're looking at a list of names up at the top, these people are not extremely special. They're not more loved by the leadership than anyone else. These are people that we're simply asking to go first when it comes to serving Jesus in these different ways. Just to know, there's a table in the back that you can also fill out a form. If you don't like doing online, you can fill out a form and encourage any of those deacons or affirm them as well. Today we're going to finish with a closing song, and there's kind of three things to maybe pray on as we're in this closing song. If you saw it maybe as you entered into service over where Matt is standing, there's three prayer boards. And those three prayer boards have filled, lead, and home on them. And we're going to actually leave this slide up. So guys in the booth, if you wouldn't switch to the songs, but just stay on this slide. There's three kind of questions to maybe pray over and to also be thinking over. That if any of these questions, you have an answer to it. Today, we just invite you either during this song or at the end of service to go and grab a sticky note. And will you just actually write an answer to that and just slap it on the board? The three questions that are listed here will stay up here. This is the work that God is doing for us right now. He's inviting us. And this work is urgent because there is a battle that's happening right now in our world, that God is calling God's people to be filled and led so they can testify that there's a God who cares about them and wants them to come home. We'll invite the team up, as well as if you're receiving prayer, there will be people back there as well just to receive prayer. If you have anything you want to pray on. So Lord, we ask you, can you help give us the energy and the direction for this work that you've set in front of us? God, I pray if there are ways that we have been filled or refreshed in these first 6 months, can you remind us of that? If there are new ways you're asking us to engage you, would you bring that up? And finally, Lord, we pray for the lost and those who don't know that they can be at home with you. Can you bring those names up to our attention as well? We pray this in your name, Jesus.